We believe a true child of God has two births, one of the flesh and the other of the spirit. The flesh nature is neither good nor righteous. The spiritual nature does not commit sin. This results in warfare between the spirit and the flesh, which continues until physical death or the return of the Lord. The new birth cannot change in any way the flesh nature of man, but the flesh nature can be controlled and kept subdued by the new man. The illustration is, you've got two dogs, you can only feed one. If you put those two dogs in a ring and they have to fight, the one who is fed is the one who is going to overcome the one who is not fed. Hey there, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we are continuing to chug along through the statement of faith here at Calvary Community Church. We are here in Tampa, Florida. We encourage you to come visit us if you are local, or even if you're just coming down for vacation. A lot of people like to be here. We'd like to see you as a part of your vacation plans. I'm really excited about this series we've started called Fine Print. This is the third video on our statement of faith here at Calvary Community Church. And we did two previous videos on the IFCA, taking a look at their statement, how it sounds good in the beginning, but a supplemental document changed the whole thing. Hopefully, we'll get through it, all of it today. We're going to start on eternal security, where we left off. You can go to calvaryoftampa.org, go to the About Us tab, and click Our Beliefs, or you can just look down in the description. It's right there, too. Eternal security. We believe that once a person becomes a child of God by faith in Christ, he is always a child of God. A person is either saved forever or not saved at all. Amen? This is why we like to say, once you are saved, you will always be saved. Eternal security is not a separate doctrine from salvation. It is salvation. Now, that can be a complicated statement for some. What I'm saying here is, if you believe on Jesus Christ, that what he did was for you, there should be an understanding that what he did provides you eternal life. We're not believing on Christ for just the covering of some sins. He did it for all. If we're believing he covered some sins, we're also believing that we can take care of the rest. Once a person is saved, he can never lose his salvation in any way for any reason. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24, my absolute chef's kiss favorite verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, present tense, and shall not come into condemnation, future tense, but is passed from death unto life, past tense. I'm all taken care of in Jesus Christ. John 6:47 tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 10:28 tells us, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The evidence of salvation. We believe the only evidence of salvation is revealed in whom a person is trusting in to get to heaven. We believe it is a heresy to teach that a person can know he is saved or lost because of his behavior, or for others to believe a person is saved or lost because of his behavior. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 tells us this, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Continuing here, the church. We believe that the church, which is the body of the espoused bride of Christ, is a spiritual organism made up of all those who have trusted Christ as their Savior from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. Ephesians 1:22 tells us, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the ecclesia, the called out assembly, the church. Verse 23 of Ephesians 1 says, which is his body and the fullness of him that dwelleth all in all. Ephesians 5:25 through 27, a beautiful, beautiful statement here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, set it apart, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Of course, this is all talking about the church. So I believe when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they're born into the family of God. They're a part of this new thing called the church, Jew and Gentile all together. I think that happens right. I'm pointing over here because that's where our sanctuary is located. I believe that happens in there when people trust Christ as our Savior. We believe that the establishment and continuance of local church is clearly taught and defined in New Testament scriptures. And then you can take a look at those scriptures there. We believe that the two ordinances of the local church instituted by Christ are water baptism and the Lord's Supper, which is communion. These are steps of obedience in a Christian's life of service and are not for salvation. The Christian walk. This is where, you know, I preach the gospel and I am a pastor so that people come to faith in Christ, but then I want them to have a Christian walk. This is where I believe that the Lord has placed me to help people come to an understanding of salvation and then to do something with their new life in Christ. We believe every true child of God possesses eternal life, is justified by faith, sanctified by God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, safe and secure for all eternity, and cannot lose his salvation. However, a Christian can, through sin, lose fellowship, joy, power, testimony, and rewards, and incur the Father's chastisement. Relationship is eternal, being established by the new birth. Fellowship, however, is dependent upon obedience. God guarantees salvation. It is his gift to us. God guarantees reward and fruit to the obedient son. God guarantees chastening and loss of rewards to the disobedient son. We also believe that rewards once earned cannot be lost. God does not cast out disobedient children, but in some cases does take them home. He does not permit his children to live as they please without discipline and guidance. This is so important. Discipline and guidance, which comes from the loving hand of the Father. The passage I want to focus on is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. It's a long chapter, so we're not going to look, it's a long passage. We're not going to look at the whole thing. But there's a quotation here from Proverbs chapter 3, and it's right here in Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, because God loves you, he's going to discipline you. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is not a verse for salvation, but a precious promise to Christians for cleansing and forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 does not guarantee restoration of fellowship or restitution from physical damage caused by sin. There are lines that we can cross where the physical response or the physical consequences can't be undone. It is a heresy to teach that confession of sin produced spiritual fruit. Confession of sin places the Christian in a position where he can have fellowship with God. 1 John 6 and 7 teaches that fellowship is the result of the Christian's walk and not the result of confession of sin. Let me tell you something here very plainly. When you are a child of God, you now have a responsibility to deal with sin in your life. Specifically, that you sin not. The confession of sin brings you to a place where now the fellowship can be restored. Obedience must follow. Obedience must follow. Spirituality, of which fellowship is part, comes from the Christian's obedience to God. And then there's verses there that you can take a look at. We're going to close here in just a moment with some other of these verses. Before we go any further, though, I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to check out our 1 John series. I think that 1 John series is really good. It's about 15 or 16 videos. You can play it in the background, or you can play it while you study and actually follow along with us. But I think it helps you understand the point in context of 1 John 1:9. The reason why we call it out and set it as a separate thing is because it's very often misunderstood. The two natures of the believer. We believe a true child of God has two births, one of the flesh and the other of the spirit. The flesh nature is neither good nor righteous. The spiritual nature does not commit sin. This results in warfare between the spirit and the flesh, which continues until physical death or the return of the Lord. The new birth cannot change in any way the flesh nature of man, but the flesh nature can be controlled and kept subdued by the new man. The illustration is, you've got two dogs, you can only feed one. If you put those two dogs in a ring and they have to fight, the one who is fed is the one who is going to overcome the one who is not fed. all claims to the eradication of the old nature in this life are unscriptural. There are some Reformed teachings that say God has reformed you. You are brand new. You have no sin nature. Francis Chan is one of those guys who teaches that junk. John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 7 say, Jesus answered, saying unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We believe that new birth has happened at the moment of faith in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Galatians 5:17 says, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And then you have other verses here. 1 John 3:9, which I think is one of the most controversial verses in the New Testament. That's coming off screen, so let's zoom into the Bible Line Gateway, or Bible Gateway here. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. I believe this section right here is very important for people to understand, the two natures of the believer. Because there's a lot of people who think they're saved by their own transformation. You know, that's like a proof that they're saved. You have a sinful nature in you. It's going to sin. You can subdue it by walking in the Spirit. Two phases of the second advent when the Lord comes back. We believe that the rapture consists of the coming of Christ from heaven and the saints on earth meeting in him in the air. We believe in the personal, premillennial, and pre-tribulational return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe that Christ's coming with his angels to earth is in power and great glory. We believe this coming is preceded by the seven-year tribulational period, which begins immediately after Revelation. And you can take a look at those verses there for reference. The personality of Satan. We believe that Satan is a person, the author of sin, and the cause of the fall. We believe that he is the open and declared enemy of God and man, and that he and his angels will be eternally punished in the lake of fire, of which the lake of fire was created. The ministry and spiritual gifts. We actually had a great call a few weeks ago on the Bible Line show. Well, it's more than a few weeks ago now, where we laid out our case for why we believe in certain spiritual gifts ceasing. We believe that God is sovereign and the bestowment of all his gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. We believe the gift of tongues, languages, was manifestation of the Holy Spirit's power solely for the demonstration of God's wisdom, purpose, and power in the establishment of the early church. This gift was always a spoken known language of that time, and a sign of the unbelieving Jew. And a sign for the unbelieving Jew. We believe that God does hear and answer in accord with his own will, the prayer of faith for the sick and afflicted, as it says in John 15:7 and 1 John 5:14-15. God can heal, but physical healing is not the atonement. God heals miraculously today when it is his perfect will to do so. Healing cannot be claimed through the guarantee of atonement, because there's some that say, well, I've got this cancer, so I'm going to claim my healing through the atonement. This body is going to die. You want a new one. You don't want this one to last forever. You have the guarantee of a new one. So we think that's in error for people to claim the gift of healing simply through the atoning work of Christ and then connect that to physical healing. This body's going to die. At times, it is God's will for sickness not to be removed. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10 is a perfect case of this. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The whole purpose of suffering is to draw us closer to the Lord. I think that's beautifully put. We believe that speaking in tongues and the working of sign miracles gradually ceased as the apostles passed off the scene. New Testament scriptures were completed and their authority became established. The sign gifts were no longer necessary. Finally, the resurrection and separation. We believe that there is a resurrection of the saved and lost, of the saved unto eternal life, and of the lost unto eternal conscious punishment. So we do not claim to be annihilationists. These two resurrections are separated by at least 1,000 years. And that's detailed in this passage, Revelation 20:5-15. Obviously, we can't see the whole thing, but I would encourage you to read that. And separation. We believe that all of the saved should live in such a manner as to not bring reproach upon their Savior and Lord. And that separation from all religious apostasy, all worldly and sinful pleasures, practices, and associations is commanded of God. Romans 12:1 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I know that it's a long statement of faith. It's longer than most statements of faith, but I think it's a good example of clarity and honesty. So the next time we do this fine print series, we'll select another statement of faith, not necessarily to attack the ministry, but just to look at how you can find out what a church believes based on the things that they say. And I hope this has been encouraging for you. You got at least an hour's worth of commentary on what we really believe. So if you got people that are like, well, I'm not sure about Bibleline, I don't know, send them this. This is kind of wrapping all of it up. But I hope this has been a blessing to you. Make sure that you like, comment, share, hit the subscribe button, turn on the notification bell. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Thank you. God bless you. And I'll see you right here next week. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bibleline, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bibleline is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.